this is just something you are just going to have to accept and get over it or not, because it's something that you're going to constantly think about all the time.
Yeah.
What does it matter? Does the whole town know that she hooked up with 40 people and then you constantly have to have a conversation about it? Or is it just between you two?
Exactly.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. You've heard this one before, but the sexiest quality in the world is confidence. And that's true, but it's not always easy to muster. Confidence is an inside job. But here's the good news. Once you generate on your own terms, life and sex get a whole lot easier. So on today's Ask Emily show, I'm joined by my dear friend and former co-host, Menace. You might know him from The Woody Show. And we talk confidence, jealousy, self-image, and what happens when you adore your partner but can't stop thinking about their high body count. Or you want to have hot phone sex with a long-distance lover, but you don't know where to start. Well, we talk through both. Or how about when you've discovered something about your partner, like a secret can of delay spray, or the fact that they want you to be more dominant in bed? I help you find the confidence to talk about both. Finally, for the ultimate confidence test, open relationships. We talk about when it's time to close back up, when it's time to open, and how to keep lines of communication open, even when it's uncomfortable. For each episode, I want to set an intention for the show, and I encourage you to join me in doing the same. My intention is to bring you another perspective on sex and relationships from a friend of the show and someone with a penis. So please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My new article, How to Have More Sensual Sex, is up at sexwithemily.com. And also check out my YouTube channel for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me a question, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX, or 559-825-5739. Leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. On today's show, I'm joined by Menace. He's a dear friend of mine who used to co-host this show with me since the beginning. I'm so excited to have him back with me again. Find out more about Menace on The Woody Show podcast and morning radio show, or on social media. He's at Menace. Menace, it's so good to see you.
Good to see you too. It's been too long.
But for those of you who don't know, Menace is, you might recognize Menace from the morning show here, which is everywhere now, The Woody Show.
Yeah, we're on in 3 different cities, all the way from Los Angeles to Philadelphia, back to Hawaii, and then around the world on AFN. So you can hear the podcast, The Woody Show, or just tune into the radio in the morning. Yeah,
it's okay. Really, totally. And you should. It's a good show. He gets up every morning and does great content, and he's there for you. But I know Menace because, fun fact, when I started this show 16 years ago now, I worked in radio. He was assigned to my show the first year of this, really. And
yeah,
we worked together for many, many years, and Menace has been on the show as a co-host, but now he's been off doing morning radio and taking over the world. But I'd love to bring him back because we have a history here, Menace, and you've always been really helpful to the audience and entertaining, and I love seeing your face.
Helpful because I ask all the questions that the audience wants to ask. So
exactly.
I haven't talked to you in a long time, so I want to know, first off, who are you dating? Who are you hooking up with? What's your love life like right now?
I've been fixed up with several people. Coming
really?
Up in the next few weeks. I went on a date recently with somebody that I was not that into. We talked on the phone, thought it would be great. And then I met him and there was just a sort of I didn't feel a connection with this guy.
Was he a good talker on the phone?
Great talker. Here's the thing. Okay. You can't tell when sometimes they're a great talker on the phone. And then we got together and I just thought he's a great guy. I'd like to be friends with him.
Oh, no.
I did.
You friend-zoned him that quick?
I knew. I just didn't feel it. I didn't feel it in my loins.
What is your type these days?
Men who have done their work, Menace.
Okay.
They've done their work. They've been in therapy. They know their issues. They have their career figured out. They're not struggling. They're not searching for themselves. Maybe they've been married. Maybe they've been divorced. They have kids. That's all good. That's all fine. Understand their childhood. They're not angry. They know how to regulate their emotions and they want to have a good time. Because here's the thing right now, Menace. I never prioritized marriage or children. I like being in relationships and obviously I really enjoy a great sexual relationship. I don't need sperm. I don't need their money. I just want someone I can like hang out with and travel and have a companion, have a life partner.
That doesn't seem like a lot, though.
It's not a lot. I haven't been looking the last year. I was really in this COVID thing, and I really was going deep into my work. And I had one guy that I was sleeping with that was convenient, but it wasn't something that had any legs. It wasn't going to go anywhere.
Because that's always been a big thing with me and you. I think cohabitating with somebody would be amazing. Mm-hmm. I know you want to have a partner. What is your dream? Do you live in separate places?
You know, I'm a big proponent of the LAT movement. Do you know about the LAT movement? Okay, the living apart together movement is about couples. They have two homes, or they definitely have separate bedrooms. But initially it was, they had like separate homes, and they, neither one of them gave up their place, and they would go back and forth. Or if they do have the same home, they have separate rooms. And why I love this idea is because I think that living together all the time and staying on top of each other is not conducive. And we know this. It's not just me. It's studies have shown time and time again that couples need the space. They, you know, think of it like fire, right? The fire needs the oxygen, right? To keep the fan the flames. If you're on top of each other, you're going to the bathroom, the door open, you're flossing your teeth, you're doing all the things. That is not going to make for a hot sex life for sure. So you need space. Mm-hmm. So the living apart together movement is like, we are still together, but we take our space. That to me is ideal.
Yeah, it seems like a dream situation for you.
It does. But how's it going for you? You're married. You like cohabitating.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of it. You know, during the pandemic, I was perfectly fine, but I was probably driving my wife crazy because we have two French bulldogs. Her wild and crazy. And then you have me, who's extremely, you know, needy. I need to be baby. Like, I need to, like, everything for me taken care of. Like, when we're doing the house and like paperwork and all that kind of stuff, I go to work. And I mean, she also works and she has a great job. But like, all I know is like my job, I'm just going to, whatever I make, I just put it in the bank and then you take care of everything else, you know?
Right, right. So, is she okay with that job?
Yeah, no. She's totally, she'd rather do it than me.
Okay, that's good.
I know, like, it can't be overwhelming because I'm also impatient. So I'd be like, did you take care of this? Did you take care of that? Did you take care of this? And then also, you know, she still has a job to do. And then we have two dogs that are running all over the place. And we're in the middle of buying a house and things like that. So I know it could be a kind of maddening. But I'm perfectly fine with cohabitating. Nothing drives me crazy.
Yeah, I could see you being totally on top of it, Menace. I mean, what do you bring to the table, though? I'm just trying to hear what you bring here.
I provide joy. I am very joyful to be around. I am the fun coordinator. You know, I go, okay, now we got the stuff in the house taken care of. Like, okay, where are we going to go next? Like, just in the past month, we went to New York City, Orlando, Vegas, Cabo. And that's kind of like the stuff that I contribute to.
Okay. That's good. No, that sounds like a good balance. I'm just checking. I think that's, you are fun, Menace. I got to say that. You are fun.
You know what I miss is your emails from the people. Do you have any emails that we can read?
I do. Yeah. Menace, I've gathered ones that I thought that would be great to answer with you. Ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Let's start with James 30 in Scotland. Hey, Dr. Emily, I really enjoyed and found your podcast so helpful for my life and relationship. However, I've struggled to mentally overcome that my partner has a very promiscuous past. We've had the conversations about past partners. Her number is much higher than mine, with hers being over 40 sexual partners. How do I deal with this? And can you slap some sense into me to stop getting in my head on this and be happy for her that she had a fun experience in her life? We are very much in love and going strong. It's just one issue I have. So the body count. It's the body count, as we call it, Menace. My notion to this is that this is a silly conversation for couples to have. And once they have it, it always goes wrong. It's the worst conversation to have. This is going to be a mind thing that he's got to focus more on the sex life that they are having. And when he can, start building a sex life with her. Do all the things I talk about in the show. Download our Yes, No, Baby list. Talk to her about what your fantasies are. Find out her fantasies. But once you have your own material of a sex life together, you won't be thinking so much about the past. And my other point, forget the number of people you slept with does not mean you are a great lover. It doesn't mean you have more experience necessarily. It just means you might have banged a lot of people, but that does not mean that you are a skilled lover. What do you think, Menace?
Well, number one, that's a conversation that should never be discussed. There's absolutely zero benefit to it because, like you said, either one person is going to be hurt by it and then it just taints your relationship. It's too late. This is just something you are just going to have to accept and get over it or not, because it's something that you're going to constantly think about all the time.
Yeah.
And you're just going to bring it up even years later because you're obsessed with it.
Like, yeah.
What does it matter? Does the whole town know that she hooked up with 40 people and then you constantly have to have a conversation about it? Or is it just between you two?
Exactly. And then
if it's just between you two and that's the only time you have to deal with it, then it's up to you to get over it or not. It's just ego.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I was thinking about the whole town, like, is the postman, give her a smile? And she's like, did you also sleep with the postman? Did you deal with the pizza delivery guy? Yeah, I think absolutely. I think you have to just flip it and say like, oh, wow, I really am truly happy that she had these partners. I'm happy for her. Like it's a compersion. We talk about compersion, meaning like people in open relationships actually get to a point where they feel joy for their partner having sex with someone else. If your partner was satisfied by another person, you love them so much and care so much about their satisfaction that you enjoy. I mean, so you could feel this from her past and say, I'm so glad she had fun and she had these experiences and now she's with me. And you could just switch your mindset to that. It's a practice. Everything's a practice. So be happy for her and focus on the sex life you are having. He's happy. So when I said I want to date someone who's self-aware and has done their work, to me, the fact that he can say, I know this is crazy that I'm obsessing. Can you help me get out of this place? That is a man asking for help. I totally appreciate that. I love it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Taylor in Chicago is wondering how to make the magic happen with her long-distance partner. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. All right. This is from Taylor, 20, in Chicago. Hey, Dr. Emily, just wondering if you have any fun tips on how to get your man aroused and turned on in a long-distance relationship. We have a pretty active sex life whenever we're together. Obviously, after months of not seeing each other, we're horny. But I was wondering if you had any tips on phone sex and sexy long-distance relationships. Any advice is greatly appreciated. Menace, have you ever been in a long-distance relationship?
For like 2 weeks.
Right, exactly.
But that was on the other person. I would have been perfectly fine having a long distance relationship. Like Monday through Friday, I just work like freaking crazy. So if I just only saw my partner on the weekends, I would be perfectly fine with that. So I can totally do a long distance relationship. Zero issues with that. I know I'm always thinking into the future and I know they're probably talking about it right now, but what have I been talking about for like 20 years is having sex online for long distance relationships. And I know there's been things that have come out since I first talked about it, which was not invented yet.
He invented the Bluetooth vibrators that you can have sex with online.
Did I? I have audio proof on this podcast, Sex with Emily. Go to the early days. I talked about it. You kind of did. But just for the people that they're maybe listening, they don't even know that exists. So there is devices you can do that, right?
Yeah,
so
well, there's vibrators. WeVibe makes these remote controlled toys. Essentially, they are Bluetooth enabled now. They also have a remote control. You download it on your app. Like, Menace, right now, I could send you a text and say, you'll get it from their app. They use a WeConnect app. And it would say, hey, lover, your lover wants you to connect. I could have the vibrator right here on me, and you can control it with your app. Like, you could see me. I could see you. You could have, like, a penis ring, and I could have a clitoral toy. And we could just use the app and tease each other. And, like, the vibrations, the patterns, the whole thing. Is it on? Yeah. Is it off? You could even do it when we're not on it. Like, you could not put the video on. I could be at work, and I could be wearing one of their wearable vibes. Like, they have this wearable panty vibe. And if you're my partner, you could, wherever I'm at in the world, you could control the vibrator in my pants.
See, I highly recommend that. I'm all about the technology. Where I was going with this was, even to the next level, is this whole metaverse thing with Facebook, where you're going to have your online world. Eventually, it's probably not going to be through Facebook. It'll be through some other website. But people are going to be having virtual sex. I know people are watching virtual porn, but actually having sex with each other.
Okay.
Like, with the devices that you're talking about, but they're actually seeing each other through VR goggles.
That's already existing too. Well, there's a company called Kiru, and actually WeVibe's part of this too, where there are people programming porn. So when you're watching the virtual reality porn, they are programming the movements of the porn star. So you can have, like, a penis sleeve. Remember those, like, masturbation sleeves, Menace? You would be using that sleeve around your penis, and it would feel just like the partner that you're watching in virtual reality is doing the same movement on your penis. So it's the toys are lined up with
that's
the porn.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be live between you and a partner one day, or you and randos online.
Well, that's living apart together. That's really apart. Yeah. But then I'd have the sex. This might be not be a bad, no. I like to cuddle.
I mean, the guy from Scotland might be afraid, because imagine how many online partners you could have.
I know.
If you're online sexing, you can get up to the thousands on that one. Do you think that there's going to be divorces now that this online universe is going to be happening? And look, guys are going to want to have sex online with their high school crushes, which might happen. You know, because you hear, like, in real life, I know people in real life who reconnected on Facebook with their high school sweetheart or high school crush, and they left their family to go be with those people. Imagine if you can actually interact with them in real time online in a virtual world, and you're, you know, having sex with them. That might be grounds for divorce. You know, people are not going to be cool with that.
Yeah,
this would be a new way where people are getting divorced because he was cheating on me by having virtual sex.
Okay, so these are the kind of consent conversations you have to have with your partner, because some people would say that is cheating, and some people would say it isn't cheating. Yeah, Menace, I know two people right now who are with their high school, like, who left families to be with their high school sweethearts. And you're right, if they could just click a button and right now I'm going to actually have virtual sex. But here's the thing about virtual sex. Like, at the end of the day, you got to turn off your computer at some point, and then you turn around and you're in your lonely bed in your lonely place with your plant. Like, you're still alone. You don't have human contact. I still think that we're going to want human connection.
Sure. But guys that don't want to take masturbation to the next level, they're going to be on the computer all day long.
Yeah, those aren't my guys. Okay, so let's go back to Taylor. Because Taylor, so here's the thing. First, so long distance relationships, I love that you're asking this question, because it can be hard when you are not keeping the spark alive or that connection. So first off, you can get a toy. I would make sure that you have, like, a date night on the, like, you could say, okay, 8 o'clock on Saturday nights, we're actually going to have a date, and we're going to have dinner, we have a glass of wine, or just even if just a drink. And we're going to talk about our relationship. We're going to download our yes, no, maybe list, which is on our website. It's this really cool thing, Menace, that I'm going to give it to as homework with your partner. It's 80, 90 sex acts. It's everything. It's kissing, touching, anal, spanking, dirty talk. And you can say with your partner, is this a yes, is it a no, or is it a maybe? And then you find where your yeses are, because maybe Taylor when you see your guy next time, you'll be like, we both found out we both like spanking, or we're really both into anal play, or we're finding our commonalities, which will be ways that you can communicate. So when you see each other again, you'll be like, oh, that's so hot. We could, you have something to look forward to. Your sex life is building even though you're not physically together. One more thing for Taylor. She wants to know about phone sex. So phone sex is about finding your own like sexy voice. And it's a lot slower than your typical voice. You're probably your normal voice. It's a little bit deeper. It's sort of just a breathier voice, not a fake voice, just a voice how you feel when you are in the moment, when you're feeling turned on and aroused. Like that's your sexy voice. And you could practice this in the shower. You could practice in the mirror. Here's a great way to start with phone sex. What have you done in the past that's been hot? You can describe it like, oh, I keep thinking about last time we were together and you ripped my clothes off and it was so hot. You could describe something that you want to happen in the future or what's happening in the moment. I love the way your hands feel on my body. I love kissing you. So those are my main tips for phone sex and long distance. And I also have a great show with Joanna Angel about dirty talk. We'll put it in the show notes so you can check it out. She's like porn star, gives great tips. We're going to talk about this guy here. He didn't give his name, but he says, I'm a big fan of the show, and I love that you've helped a lot of people, including me. So I'm a short guy, 5'5 to be exact, and don't have a big package. When I've approached women in the past, most have just said, sorry, you're too short for me. The worst part is that most of these women are even shorter than I am. It sucks because it takes a lot for me to approach a woman, and the constant denial is starting to get to me. My question is, how can I change my approach, or what should I do to show these women I'm worth being with? Thanks for your insight. Love the show. So height and penis size. It's a thing.
Okay. This has been a topic on our morning show because we have a guy on the show that's single and he's into all the dating apps and all that kind of stuff. And he was saying on the profiles of certain women, they'll say like, don't even contact me if you're not a certain height, which is insane, right?
It's insane. What about it?
If it was the other way around, like people would be losing their minds, but there is, what do you call them? Heightists out there. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know. It kind of gets into a trend where people start saying bad things about short guys. And then it gets into the ether, into a public, right. I don't know, like and public feelings about short guys. That puts on a stigma where women don't want to date short guys.
Just like what the ether or the society said about women's weight. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, women had more curves and more rolls. Like, who said that rolls or jiggles of your skin wasn't sexy? So there's a lot of things that happen in society, I think, that kind of huff with what we might actually be attracted to, but we can't see past their weight or their height. So yeah, all like, that said, like yeah, said, go ahead.
The trends, I don't know, 5-7 years from now, it could be like, oh, short guys are the ish. It's all about short guys. Tall guys suck. Yeah. It's just whatever society feels at the time, which sucks. The only thing I can think of, I got these amazing shoes in New York the other not too long ago. And I put them on, not even realize I just bought them because I liked them. It gave me like 2-inch lift. Like I'm 6 foot with these things on without even realizing it. To give yourself a little bit of height if you wanted,
go ahead and do that. I wear 2-inch sneakers all the time. What I want to challenge in here, though, is that he's saying that in the past, every woman I've approached you in the past, they just say, sorry, you're too short for me. That might happen with some women, but that's not going to happen with every woman. So that's a story that he's already telling himself, that every woman has rejected him. And sometimes we create like this, oh, it's everybody. Maybe it was 2 women or maybe it was a few women. But it doesn't mean that you are not going to find your person. And yeah. I think that there's other ways. It says, you know, it takes a lot to approach a woman. I get it. It is not easy, but I love that you are approaching women, which is great. But also maybe this would be a great time for the dating apps because not everybody on the dating app is saying their height. And I hear from women all the time who think, yes, I will agree that a lot of women do want someone taller, but they don't. They're not with someone taller. They don't end up that way. And they're happy and satisfied and in love. The best advice I have is just really working on yourself and realizing all of the gifts and all the things in you that make you a wonderful guy. Because you sound like a really articulate, smart, emotionally available man. And the more you can kind of lean into what your strengths are and practice just showing up as yourself and not like looking for, is she going to reject me? Is she going to say all these things? Because I have so many stories of people finding love with people that they didn't think was possible. They didn't think it was going to happen, but it's all about your mindset change and knowing that it is possible.
It is a gift because you get to filter out all the people. If you have the confidence to approach people and talk to them, again, it's a numbers game. So you get to quickly filter out the people that are not a good match for you. And then you find the person that is a good match for you, and you're gonna love that person. That person's gonna love you.
It is a numbers game. I love that you said that because it is so true that the more you put yourself out there and the more you talk to people and just keep going. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's a quick filter to find out who's awesome and who's not.
That's the other thing. When people reject you guys, remember, it is a great, I know it's hard to see in the moment, but when someone rejects you, it's like, all right, on to the next. It's like, why stay with someone for a year or for even a few weeks or wait for a date when they could tell you right away, like, great, just keep weeding them out. You'll find your person who's like, I don't know about height. I don't even care about penis, you know? Because again, remember, when I talk about penis size for a minute just to give you this, it is not about your penis size. Men are more obsessed with their penises than anyone else's. After the break, we answer a question from Amanda, who's wondering how she can dip into being more dominant in the bedroom. Oh, hell yes, Amanda, we got you. You're going to be dominating your husband in no time.
Real quick, before we go into another email, I do have a question for you, okay? I want to ask you, because in the entertainment world, everyone is obsessed with Pete Davidson, okay? Now, Pete Davidson was just spotted the other day hanging out with Kim Kardashian now, and he's dated, like, all these women in Hollywood. Are you attracted to Pete Davidson? I'm not saying that he's a bad-looking guy, but my coworkers think, these are men, not females. My coworkers think it's like, oh, it's because, you know, he's damaged, he lost his father in 9/11, and women want to fix him. So they're trying to make the excuse like, how come people are into Pete Davidson and they're not into me? So I want to see what your theory is.
My theory about Pete Davidson is I think that he's probably funny and he's probably very attentive. Listen, this is so cliche, but every woman I know is like, I just want someone who's funny. I just want him to be funny and smart. There's something about funny, like somebody who can make you laugh and then you also feel seen, and maybe he just probably makes women feel very adored and very loved and laughs, and maybe he really likes to give women pleasure.
I have seen him in interviews where it's like he's doing the self-deprecating things like, I don't even belong with these women, you know, I don't know, somehow they want to end up with me and things like that. But I also do have a theory where he dated Ariana Grande. So that put him at a level where it makes other people interested. Like, okay, well, what's up with this guy? Why is Ariana Grande, one of the biggest pop stars in the world, interested in this one guy? And then that just started chain reaction after they broke up, where females or partners are into him because they want to know what was so special about him that Ariana Grande would date.
It's like elevated his status in a way. Like, it kind of gave him over another rank. Like, oh, wow, like now he can date celebrities. I think that would work for maybe one other or two. But the fact that he must be, I think that is part of it for sure. They're like, well, if Ariana Grande went out with him, I might go out with him. But I think he's probably his good game. And now that you're talking about the self-deprecating part, he's like, oh, I don't know why you would go out with me. And, because I don't deserve you or whatever. That, again, that elevates your sense of safety with somebody, and then you feel elevated. You feel like, we love compliments, Mattis. You know how we love a compliment. She started the idea that he has a big penis. Ariana Grande?
Well, yeah, it's funny. He talked about that in his comedy special, and he has some pretty funny observations about that. She did tweet out that, oh, he has a huge penis, whatever. But he talked about it in his comedy special saying, she's actually an evil genius by saying that, because he goes, everyone thinks I have a huge penis. So anytime a woman sees it for the first time and it's not huge, they're disappointed. So now I have this label for my entire life where women want to see my penis. And then when they do, they're extremely disappointed.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant. It's true, though, because they're like, oh, that's the hype. If you hear it's huge, you're like, that's not that big. Like, I've been watching porn. Yeah, you're right. He can't win. That is hilarious.
He says it's horrible. It's horrible that she said that.
So, okay. So he's got the penis thing. He's probably just a good catch. I think funny goes a long way. Mattis, you know that.
Oh, for sure.
You're funny.
Yeah, that's how I get by. You have any more emails we can answer real quick?
I do. I've got one real quick. Okay, this is from Amanda, 43 in Missouri. I have a question about domination. Been with my husband for 6 years. We have amazing sex. I guess I've been blessed with a man that gets turned on by me getting off. We've come to this road and how he'd like me to be more dominant in the bedroom. At first, it was no big deal, but I lost all interest quick. I guess I'm not the type that likes to be the one doing all the work when I come home from work. Super exhausted, and sometimes I just want to be pampered, and I want him to be dominant over me. But he's a switch, so he can go either way. I just want to know how to be more dominant without feeling like it's a chore. You know, I get this a lot from like in heterosexual couples for women who are like, yeah, I know I got to take charge, but I just don't want to. I'm really down with the guy doing everything sexually. And I get that. My advice here would be to find out what dominant looks like to him. It might not mean that he wants you to be a dominatrix and dressed up in like, you know, with chains and high boots and, you know, a whip. He might just mean like, I want you to initiate every once in a while. Yeah. I want you to put a blindfold on me. I want you to talk dirty to me or use some demeaning words and spank him. I'd find out more so you're not just making it up. And then you might get into it in the moment and realize it's not what you think it is, but it's still giving him pleasure. What do you think about this menace switching?
I agree. I think starting off with initiation, just initiate in the beginning and then maybe ramping up to the blindfolding and the whips and the chains.
If
and stuff
he wants
like that.
It.
No, if he wants it. But if you go hard in the paint, like in the beginning with all that kind of stuff, he might be like, oh, whoa, I don't know if I'm into all this, even though there's a lot of guys that don't want to be in control. They want to be dominated. They want somebody to initiate. If you just try to initiate and see what happens, go from there. And if he, I don't know, pushes you away for some reason, then have a conversation, which is Emily's tagline has been that for, I don't know how many years now, communication is lubrication. It works.
It does work. Just talk about it. It's true. I'm not saying you should bring in the whips and the chains right away. Find out what it means to him. And then you get to figure out what he means, because sometimes our partners say stuff to us and we don't know what that means. Be more dominant. Dominant can be mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So I think have another conversation. It makes sense that you're not as into it, because that could happen to me. I get it. We're used to having sex one way, but I found that when I've been more dominant, it's not what you people all think it is. It just meant that I was like more in charge of, or I was in charge of the, I was in charge of the penis tonight. I was in charge of
initiating
and making it like it was about his place. Usually I'm like, go down to me for, you know, an hour and then we'll, you know, have sex. Not an hour, but you know, sometimes. But then these nights I'm like, it's all about you. Okay, here's one quick one. Okay. Dr. Emily, I've been seeing this guy for about a month now. I was at his house one night. He threw something away in his trash can and there was a box from male desensitizing spray. I was puzzled because we have amazing sex and I've never needed him to last longer than he does, which makes me question if he's sleeping with someone else or if he has a hard time holding back when we are intimate. But he hasn't communicated with me yet. We haven't had the exclusive talk, but I'm wondering what am I missing? So let me say this. It might have been like Promescent, you know, Promescent, it's that delay spray. Yeah. But the thing is, what I think is like, first, if you haven't had the exclusive talk, assume that they're sleeping with somebody else. That will save everyone a lot of suffering. Do not assume that someone's exclusive with you if you haven't talked about it yet. That's number one. Number two, like maybe he is using the spray and lasting longer and you just don't know it. And that's the thing. What do you think, Menace?
I just love how her mind's racing to he's sleeping with other people. It's absolutely he's using that to last longer. 1,000%. But I mean, people always, I do this too. It's just like your mind starts racing and you have all these conspiracy theories on exactly what's happening, but
the
answer is right in front of you. That's what it's used for, to last longer. That's what he is doing. But I mean, if you want to be in an exclusive relationship, yeah, you should have that conversation.
So I would lead with that. I would leave with the exclusive conversation. It sounds like you're ready to have it with him and just say, hey, let's have the talk. Like, and here people think it's such a needy conversation. It could just be, I realize that I'm just gravitating towards spending more time with you. And I want to know if your head's in this game, like, what are you thinking about our relationship so far? People think it has to be such a, like a DTR, define the relationship. You don't have to make it like this. Oh, I want this or I want that. Just explore with him and say, this is where I'm leaning towards. How are you feeling? And then you'll find out. And then you could talk about, once you feel exclusive with someone, then you kind of feel like you have more room to probably go deeper with your sexuality and talk about things and you feel safe. But I talked about that first.
Here's another thing too. I highly recommend, don't tell him you went through his trash, because that could be a that could be a red flag for him that you're going through his trash. You're like, even though you explained it, like, I kind of just saw it when I was throwing something in there. Don't even acknowledge that.
Just, it doesn't sound good.
It doesn't sound good, no matter how you explain it. My recommendation.
Good tip, Metis. Good tip. Metis, it's so good to see you. Where can people find you? Like, tell me what's going on. Don't you have, like, a hot sauce that came out or something?
Oh, yeah. Me and my friends, we made a hot sauce. You can get it at DiegoHotSauce.com. They'll take you to Amazon. And then we are going to have it in a couple stores pretty soon, some retail stores. We hooked up with this company that's been doing this stuff for like 100 years. So we're really excited. DiegoHotSauce.com. But you can just find me online just at Menace. It's easy. M-E-N-A-C-E. Okay. And then The Woody Show. You just search The Woody Show wherever. Yeah, that's either it. On your radio station or just on podcast.
Thank you, Menace.
It's great talking with you. Yeah.
So good to see you. You're the best. I miss you. Talk to you soon.
You too. All right. Bye.
That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.